Okay, time now is for questions. The formula of questions I told you earlier about. The person who's going to ask a question, you have 3 minutes to reply. Also, Brother Wissam have 3 minutes to reply for your reply or to clarify whatever he has. You cannot take more than 3 minutes. Please abide by the time for both debaters. At most, it's 3 minutes. You can use less if you like. To be fair, if there's any Christian who would like to ask a question, please PM me. My PM is open. I know the brothers who are Muslims who want to ask, so we're going to take, if there's availability, a Christian, one Muslim, one Christian question. So I'm waiting for if there's a Christian to PM me who has a question for Brother Wissam. If we're gonna go start with Brother Jamal. Again, a reminder for the people who are going to ask the questions. This is not a debate. You're not debating the debaters right now. It's a question. At most is 1 minute a question. Please present the question as clearly as possible. As clearly as possible. And right to the point. And hopefully the question is about the subject matter of the debate, which is the Bible the Word of God? Okay, Bayi Sardag, I got your PM. Inshallah, you're going to act be after Brother Jamal's question. Jamal, the mic is yours. Okay, Brother Jamal, are you there? Akh Jamal, mawjood? Okay, Brother Sugar, you have a question? Okay. Then as long as there's no questions, I was planning to leave this courtesy to someone else, but that's fine. I'm going to ask the first question, if that's possible. We see in John, you said, Mr. McCain, you said that everything was inspired by the Holy Spirit. All the writings were inspired by the Holy Spirit. If you look, I'd ask the brothers to write down the verses for me. In John 1, verse 32, it says, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, it says, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and they bear record, that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of the disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. This is in John 1. Compare that to Mark 1. And it came to pass in those days, Mark 1 from 9 to 13. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway came up from the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. These two passages, in comparison, we find that John's Jesus was still hanging around after his baptism, while Mark's Jesus immediately drove out to the wilderness. If this was inspired by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, how can you account for the discrepancy and the contradiction? The mic is yours, Mr. McCain.
Well, thank you, Fonzie, for asking this question. And I do appreciate any question from the Bible, because it shows that people are reading and hopefully carefully considering what they're reading. And the gospel accounts, some like to point to apparent contradictions or discrepancies. And we have to realize that the God is fleshing out or filling out the history of what happened. And so there are certain details that are not recorded. You know, Jesus ministered for 3.5 years, and of of course, not everything he did is recorded. And so what we do when we're reading the gospel accounts is that we read from Mark or John, and it fills out our understanding. And there's no error. What happened was that Jesus was baptized, and then, as John says, he remained in that area for a period of time, a short period of time, and then following that, he was tempted of the devil and went into the wilderness for the 40-day period. As the Gospel of Mark, which is in truncated, it is the shorter account than the other Gospel accounts, reveals. And, you know, God wrote the Bible this way for a reason. In order that scoffers, in order that some men who really don't want to believe, I mean, who wants to believe that we're sinners and we're under God's wrath and we're on our way to hell to spend an eternal damnation there, and there's nothing we can do ourselves to get ourselves saved? That's not very cheerful information, even though God is merciful and he does save some. So man reads the Bible, and in his natural state, he's in rebellion against God, and he looks for things where he can put his finger on and say, ah, you see, God, this is not the word of God, it's not true, I found a mistake. Well, God has written the Bible to really allow man, to permit man who does not read carefully, who does not take time to check things out and to diligently study and look into these matters. God allows man to quickly come to conclusions and to immediately say, well, there's an error in the Bible, the word of God is not true. Well, God allows that because those certain individuals who do that are not his elect. They are not saved, and so they wrest the scriptures, sadly, it must be said, to their own destruction. And I do hope and pray that none here are approaching the Bible with that kind of mindset of looking for errors. But thank you. I'm sorry I went a little bit over.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With all respect to you, explanation is not evidence, is not a proof. You give explanation. See, he gave you a few verses. And let me respond. First, there is a few verses from the mouth of John. He supposes he knows Jesus right away. As soon as he saw Jesus, he said, this is the Lamb of God. This is God's Son. Right away, as soon as he saw Jesus. But he found out that the verse over there contradict or contrast what John just said. He's supposed to recognize him right away, but look over here. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 7:19, and John called to him, two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus. John said to his disciples to Jesus, saying, are you he that should come, or will look we for another? He doesn't know. Are you the one we're waiting for, or we should wait for another one? How can we just say, you are the Lamb of God. You are the Son of God. He's not the Word of God. 1, 2. About the voice of God. Supposed to be in the book of Mark, in the book of Matthew, 3:16-18, that there is a sound from heaven, and it's supposed to be the sound of the Father. He said, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. But this contrasts with Jesus Christ in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 37, where Jesus said, and the Father who sent me, you never heard his voice, nor see his shape at any time. Never heard his voice, nor see his shape at any time. It's not the word of God. Okay? Now, about you said God did not written anything. Excuse me? Your book says God Almighty written only the Ten Commandments by his finger. That's it. Nothing else. The mic is yours. No, I have enough. Mic is yours. It's good enough. Take the mic, Adnan.
Excuse me, I'm a little unsure of the format here. Am I able to take the mic, and for how long?
No discussion on answers. Go ahead, Funzi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. No, you answered the question, and Brother Hussain replied, and you replied, and Brother Hussain also replied. Now we go move to another question. Now the question now is from a Christian. His name is Bayside Dog, and I'm pretty much sure it's going to be directed to Brother Wissam. Go ahead, Bayside Dog, the mic is yours.
Okay, thank you there, Fonzie. Yes, my question is directed towards Wissam, and this is my question. You claim the Bible is not the Word of God. I am a Christian. I have read the Bible for many years. If the Bible is not the Word of God, then why is it that the Bible is the only book that we have that can tell the future, that can peer into the future and give us with exact details things that are going to happen? We have so many examples. I really hesitate to name any, but just for an example, there was at least 10 prophecies in the Bible that the nation of Israel would be regathered and reformed in the last days. Now that's taken place. The mere existence of this tiny nation is a very loud testimony as to the veracity of God's word. Also, Daniel's 70 weeks, which details the exact day that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem. So I ask you, Wissam, how do you account for the fact that there are prophecies in the Bible that have come true 100% of the time, and that no other book has prophecies that dictate what the future will be, and these things come true? So, can you not hear me out there? Normally I'm never having a complaint, but I'm repeating myself. Well, I'm repeating myself because he said he couldn't hear me. But anyway, that's my question. Tell me how the Bible cannot be the Word of God and yet have more information in it about the future than any other book. Please tell me that.
Go ahead, Akhi Wissam. The mic is yours.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I challenge you. Assalamu alaikum. If it sounds good, Bayside Dog, I challenge you in a debate actually about the prophecy of the Bible. I challenge you for a debate. We can set a time and a date for a debate. If any prophecy came to true, there is nothing, absolutely nothing. I give you some examples. Jesus prophesied a lot of things, and nothing happened. Nothing. Yes, I'm going to answer the question now. Nothing happened. That's what I'm saying. Why? Let me give you an example. Jesus said in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 29. Chapter 10, 29, Jesus said, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or a wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold, now in this time, and never happened, and never materialized, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands, with persecution, and the world to come, never happened. 1, 2, also Jesus said, in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, 28, he prophesied that his 12 disciples will judge the Israelites at the last day. How can they judge? The 12 disciples to judge and Judah betrayed them first. Now, Jesus also said in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 32, 23, Matthew 10:23. It never materialized. It never. Matthew 10:23. Also Jesus said, but when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. Verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the city of Israel till the Son of Man become. 2,000 years and never materialized. 2,000 years, Jesus never came back. Never false. Also in the book of Matthew, chapter 26:64, Jesus said, from now you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God and come above the clouds. Never happened 2,000 years. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16:22, Jesus said, and this is very important, 16:28, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here right now in front of him, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Never ever happen. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Never happen. Mic is yours. I challenge you for believing this. Take the mic.
Go ahead, Mr. McCain. Mic is yours.
Thank you. And, of course, we're not surprised that God has prophesied in the Bible of future events, namely, the number one and most important would be the coming of the Messiah. And there's prophecies found throughout the Old Testament. For example, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 9, we read, unto us a son is given, and a child shall be born. And, of course, in Isaiah 7, it says that he will be born of a virgin. And these prophecies were recorded some 700 years before they were fulfilled in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's a very little thing for God to predict future events, because he is the everlasting God who, as we began tonight, saw that he inhabits eternity. He dwells in the whole spectrum of existence, and he knows the end from the beginning. And that's why it ought to be a very terrifying thing to each one of us as we read about the prophecies of hell and judgment day. Because these things are not guesses. They're not things that may come to pass. They are truths that God has revealed from his infinite perspective that most definitely shall come to pass in their proper time. And may it be that someone here could escape this approaching damnation by God's grace and by his mercy. And again, I thank you for this opportunity to share.
Okay. If I may say something here, I'm sure that I'm crossing my bounds beside this, but Bayside Dogwa's question was, there's a prophecy that happened, supposedly, and it's not there in any book, which I disagree with Bayside about this. The thing is, how do you account then, Bayside Dog, for the prophecies that did not happen that Brother Osama brought up? What kind of confidence that you have in a book that has prophecies that were not fulfilled, like the thing that Brother Wissam has said, of that people among you is not going to taste death until they see the Son of Man? This you have to keep in account. Okay, we have room for only one more question. Inshallah, later on, inshallah, tomorrow. We have room for one more question because Mr. McMahon has to go. Mr. McMahon has to go. So it's either Brother Jamal or Brother Sugar. Brother Jamal or Brother Sugar. And if Mr. McCain can accommodate one more, we can take another Christian PM'd me. Brother Jamal. Okay, okay. Brother Jamal, بدك المايك اعطيني واحد. You have no question. Okay, give me one second. Brother Sugar, the mic is yours.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله صوت واصل يا أخوان. شاء الله صوت واصل. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد بن عبد الله عليه أفضل الصلوات ربي وسلامه عليه. Okay, okay, Mr. Islam. I would like to thank our guest in the room. I'd like to thank him for respecting the time and respecting our people in the room. Thank you very much, Mr. Mackman. But I have got many questions actually, but all of them are going to be guiding me at the same place. I would like to just only one question. It's a very simple question. We will go to Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. Corinthians 1. Chapter 11, verse 10. Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 10. It says that we are the people who are going, the world is going to be over with us, and we are the lost century, okay? For this cause, because our woman to be powered on her head because of, and no, not death, not death, not death. Not death. Oh, sorry, chapter 11. Chapter 10, verse 11. It's next. Chapter 10, verse 11. يقول في إخواني نحن الذين انتهت إلينا أواخر الدهور. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. No gain, no gain. That's it. Now all these things happen unto them for the examples, and they are written for this. That mean, which is, they could be the last century is going to be happen, right? How many centuries we got after them? Because they're saying that there could be the last century. I mean, they will be the last people is going to be having in this world, right? This is what we're going to understand from the chapter itself, when it says that upon whom the end of the world are come. Okay, can you just answer this question, please? Because I want to know how many centuries we got after all this. How many generations is being made, I mean, by God or by how many generations we got after those people on that tent? Thank you very much. Mike is yours, Fonzie. Yeah, that's my question is.
Go ahead, CGB, the mic is yours.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate this question. Let's read the verse, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You see, God created the world, we can know very accurately from the genealogies in Genesis chapter 5 and in Genesis chapter 10, which really are the biblical calendars of history, about 13 some thousand years ago. And it took 11,000 years until the coming of Christ and the fulfilling of God's promise that the Messiah would enter into the world. Well, following that, we enter into the very last stage of God's salvation plan for this earth. And it is only relatively a short period of time of about 2,000 years. And we're very close to the end of the world and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God uses the language here of the ends of the world. He also says in another place, we are in the last days. And this language is applicable to the entire New Testament age, from the cross right up until the end of the world. God identifies it as the end of days. And we have to keep in mind, the Bible is written from God's eternal perspective, who one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So a couple thousand years is a very long time for us mere mortals, but for the one who is immortal, it is, and who is outside of time, it's very short indeed. And so that is the perspective of the Bible. But thank you, Sugar, for that question, and I do appreciate the reference to the Word of God, the Bible.
You see, the issue over here The key word in this statement or this sentence or verse, at the end of the world will come upon them. The end of the world will come upon them. It means the last days. These people are the people who will be in the last days. The last days. It never materialized. This is the same issue with Jesus himself. That they say, Doug, he say, there is a lot of prophecy. Yes, there is a lot of prophecy. None of them, not even one, materialized. Like Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, 23. It's a very clear statement, 10, 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily, he swear, oh, for verily I say unto you, you shall not have God over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become. Never happen, never materialize. Jesus, he said, before you end to go to all the cities of Israel, I will be here. 2,000 years, never happen. Same one more prophecy about also in Matthew chapter 16:28. Never happened. And never, and this cannot be the word of God, the word of Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here, right now, standing here at the front of him, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. 2,000 years? Never happened. Never! He was talking to his people in his lifetime. People standing in front of him. Then I say unto you, there be some standing here right now with him which shall not taste of this till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Never happened. Never happened. Michael Joseph, God take them up.
Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. McMahon. This will conclude the question and answer session because Mr. McMahon has to leave. He has some appointments at 7 o'clock, which is 3 minutes from now. Please, Mr. McMahon, before you leave, add Brother Wissam, and we'd like to hear a debate between you and Wissam about the divinity of Jesus, peace be upon him, or the presumed divinity. It was our pleasure, honestly, to have you. You're very articulate, very well to the point. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all to what is best. I do thank everyone else in the room that helped in putting the text. He's very respectful, of course. I do thank the admins for keeping the room in check. And I do thank the brothers and sisters who are with us, also the non-Muslims as well, and we appreciate their input in this room. We look forward to another debate and having you with us, and may we all enjoy, inshallah, the benefit of this talk.